And now, Ursula, the affiliate director report. Please.
Okay. Okay. As has been said a few times, I did post the affiliate coordinator's report to the listserv, so most of you should, and hopefully all of you, have a copy of it. I will review it briefly for the sake of anybody listening to this call, and try and be brief so that we have time for questions. There were two meetings last month regarding the beginnings of the idea of working on a survey. I appreciated the meetings very much. I thought they were very intelligent, very thoughtful meetings. And out of them, essentially, we got so far as to establish agreed upon goals for the survey, which included, I think, four goals, information for gathering information so that all members of the network can better understand who exactly we are and what we're experiencing. The second one is information on how to better serve the affiliates. Number three is information on what resources exist in the network. And the fourth is information on the economic realities being faced by community radio. And there were some questions brainstormed, but that was really coming up with the goals was kind of a stopping point for us. And so I look forward to working on refining the questions that we feel really will yield some results from these to reach these goals. Okay, we have had three new affiliates since the last task force meeting. Mm-hmm. As always, there's maybe another five that are in the process. Affiliation is kind of like buying art. People come and they go and they come and they go. And eventually they affiliate when the time feels right for them. During this period, the three stations that felt this was the right moment for them was WHAV in Haverhill, Massachusetts. And this is a media group that has a multimedia facility that includes television as well as public access television as well as radio. And it's interestingly, even though they're a nonprofit group, they are on the AM radio dial. The second great group is KVOY in Normal, Oklahoma. This is one of the 2007 Radio for People.
Excuse me, Normal
group.
Or Norman, Oklahoma?
Norman. Sorry, that's a typo.
Okay.
Norman. Thank you. yeah. They're a group in Norman, Oklahoma, which is essentially the Oklahoma City area. And Teresa Allen actually gets credit for finding these people through the Unitarian network nationally and made the connection for what's a very dynamic group in that area that actually I think have acquired two or three radio licenses, but they are going on the air with KVOY first, and they have affiliated prior to going on the air. And then KKWE and KKNKN, which is affiliated, and this is the group that is associated with Winona LaDuc up at White Earth, Minnesota.
And what city?
They're at White Earth, Minnesota, which is a reservation.
White Earth.
White Earth, yes. And that's
E-A-R-T-H?
E.
White Earth, as in world.
Okay.
Yeah. They're very close to Fargo. It's in western Minnesota. And we've been in communication with them for many years. I actually went up to White Earth once to visit with them in person. Mm-hmm. And very exciting to have this group in the network, and they're very excited to work with us. They do have kind of a sister relationship with another reservation, the Leech Lake Reservation in central Minnesota, a place called Cass Lake. So Cass Lake will be coming on board soon as well.
Ursula, I'm confused. You gave two call letters.
Yeah, the White Earth group has two radio stations. They have two frequencies.
KKWE and KKNWN?
They're KKWE and KNKN.
KMKN. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. And okay. So the third topic I want to touch on is Al Jazeera. Just an update on that. We have currently. Let me see. One.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm trying to do a brief scan here. It's about 35 radio stations currently are airing Al Jazeera in the network. And I have submitted a list of them to you. Mm-hmm. I don't want to read them right now because it would be too time-consuming, but it pretty much covers the whole spectrum of the country. And some are playing in the morning, some are playing in the afternoon, and they're taking either a half hour, an hour's worth. Al Jazeera has provided us with some really great photographs for people to put on their websites. And using some of their language, I composed a description of Al Jazeera, which they can put on their website, that's specific to the Pacifica Network and our exclusive radio distribution rights. I'm also, this month, I'm going to start the relatively daunting task of going through station by station and working with the Pacifica stations, WBAI and KPFT, who are doing production around Al Jazeera to create custom-made on-air promotions for each station so they can play those as well. Yeah, it's quite something, but we're getting good responses. No real problems are being reported anywhere, and I guess events have kind of, you know, made people feel very good about this. In the world events, about having this kind of information. A brief report on AudioPort. John L. Mell and Otis McClay continue to refine and streamline the operation of AudioPort. There's still a lot of kind of technical fine points that they are tweaking. Al Jazeera has been moved to a dedicated section of AudioPort, which has restricted access. It's restricted because we have to keep up reporting to Al Jazeera. It's part of our contract with them, so the only way we know to have accurate records of who's taking it is by requiring them to go through me to get access. And so it is an audio port, but it's in a restricted area. We do have the new audio port has a new method for creating accounts in audio port. It's a more secure method. And it depends upon an audio port manager at each of the individual local stations. And so I'm just going station by station and setting that up and establishing local managers and making sure they know how to do it. So it's pretty time consuming, but just I included it because I want, I know some of you are new to this task force and
thank you.
Some of you who are even older kind of sometimes scratch your head, what is URSLA actually doing? And so I like to give an indication of kind of the day-to-day stuff that gets done at this office. Furthermore, in AudioPort, there, as you probably know, there's constantly new productions being syndicated through AudioPort, which is always very exciting because it really increases the value of the website. So this month we have a bunch of new shows. One is Greenpeace Radio, which is produced by Greenpeace, and it's actually a very good show. Another show called Capitol Hill Blues, which is a bunch of the young journalists, really emanating originally from WPFW, who comment on Capitol Hill with music and blogging and other media. There's a Tom and Doug show, which is a musical comedy show, which actually comes out of Ames, Iowa, where I am now. There's a Reverend Billy Productions. Reverend Billy in New York City is doing regular services, and they are being now broadcast on Pacifica, or syndicated by Pacifica, and a show called Food Sleuth Radio, which is a political economic analysis show about food.
What's the name of that show?
Food Sleuth Radio. And it comes from KOPN in Columbia, Missouri, from our affiliate there. These shows sometimes come from independent production groups, and sometimes they come from stations in the network. It's a variety. The Radio for People Coalition is the coalition that we formed in 2006 to help new stations get on the air in relation to the 2007 filing window that was opened by the FCC for full power non-commercial radio stations. This has kind of gone into a state of emergency because the combination between the economic downturn coupled with the elimination of PTFP, which is the grant source, the federal grant source upon which most new stations were depending on using to pay for 75% of their building costs, that was eliminated in March as part of the new budget. And so suddenly we have a whole lot of stations that are in a very, very difficult situation, and there's a lot of fear that the stations will not make it on the air. Before they have 3 years to get on the air, otherwise their permit to build expires. Currently, there's approximately 100 stations that we've identified that we've helped get permits that have yet to go on the air, and of those, approximately 30 will expire this year. So they're, of course, kind of in what you might call the red zone, if I can use maybe not the best analogy, but... And 14 of those have been identified as native stations. So there's a tremendous amount of concern about this among many people throughout the country. And quite a group of people have come together to try and address this issue. Most of the organizations around the country that concern themselves with community radio have gotten involved. And so at the Village Program, we've kept Pacifica at the table as well. And essentially, the efforts are focusing on a lobbying effort that's occurring in Washington, D.C. to ask the FCC to make an exception for these stations that were being deprived of PTFP funding and giving them a dispensation to have longer to get on the air. FCC is very reluctant to do this because they don't want to set a precedent, so the case has to be made that these are special conditions. Nationally, the other things that are being done is we're pulling together efforts to help these stations get on the air, to provide the information and resources needed to do it, and also to gather the stories and the statistics that the lobbyists can use in Washington, D.C. to make their case effectively. I'm participating in these efforts. Finally, on a really upbeat note, the last of the Radio South was the initiative that Pacifica undertook to get Southern stations on the air. We went for a station in Florida, and actually former PNB director David Beaton was the person who actually went down to Port St. Joe, Florida, found the applicants, and we made an application in Port St. Joe, Florida, which is the site of tremendous problems environmentally, racial politics, economic politics, and it is it's a very, very beautiful area of Florida that is being developed very rapidly at the expense of local community members. It's where Karl Rove has moved since he bought a new home, and the environment is also rapidly being degraded. So a very small environmental group actually did apply, and to our complete joy and amazement, 2 weeks ago the FCC awarded them the permit against a whole set of competitors. It's a very large station that we got down there, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I'm going to write up the story about that as soon as I have a minute to do it, because it's a beautiful story, so it's kind of the last shoe dropping in our Radio South, and couldn't have been in a more beautiful way. We're just all totally thrilled. So that's the end of my report. Thank you for giving me so much time. It's been a while, so it's hard to get through this stuff real fast.
Mm-hmm.
First, I want to thank you so much for that excellent report. I was wondering, before there are any questions or comments, though, could you just briefly give us an update also on the Sprouts show? Some people might not be aware of that.
Well, Sprouts is a show which was actually originally requested by affiliates wanting to have specific time to showcase their productions. These days it's produced out of my office, but it features essentially productions done by affiliates and other grassroots production groups. This week is actually a beautiful show. It's the story of the six people, the six Chicano activists that were killed in 76, by car bombings, and who were probably killed through a COINTELPRO effort. But of course, as was in California, it was officially said by the police that, you know, they were bombing themselves and they accidentally detonated their own bomb. So it's a very sad story. And this week, our affiliate in KGNU is featuring that story. So every week we have a different story from around the country featured, or sometimes around the world. So, you know, if you ever know of anybody who's got a production that you think is worthy of national attention, please let me know. The show has a large audience. It reaches anywhere from 30 to 100 stations a week. So it's a good way. It's the open door in the network to getting onto a lot of radio stations.
Hmm. Thank you so much, Ursula. So are there questions or comments of Ursula?
Yes, this is Cynthia of KPFA. First of all, thank you. That Sprouts sounds wonderful. And how do you see Sprouts? And what does PTFT stand for? And thank you for your lobbying on that. And just those two questions. PTFT.
The Sprouts show, I don't think they play it in. You're in.
Berkeley, East Bay of San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't think Berkeley plays it very often. But the truth is, this isn't. If you go to audioport.org,
okay.
Sprouts is one of the few shows that actually is not password protected because some of the stations that take it are not affiliates.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to audioport.org and click on the right side, the menu, there's a link that says public file.
Good.
If you
Thank
click
you.
On that, you will see Sprout shows are listed.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, if you click on one of those pages and scroll down to the bottom of the page, you can download the show and listen to it.
Thank you.
The second question, PTFP stands for Public Telecommunications Facilities Program. It was a program which existed under the Department of Commerce, allocating federal funds to pay for equipment for telecommunications facilities. And it was the major grant through which radio stations got equipment costs met.
Thank you. Thank you for the lobbying.
It no longer exists.
Yeah, thank you, though, for making the effort and
yeah.
And all your work. And let's see, what was the other last thing I wanted to ask? Are you then permanently in Iowa?
No, I'm not. I'm here working in my free time to help the station here in Iowa get on the air. It's part of the Radio for People initiative.
Okay.
But I'm
going
to be here for a little while because it's tough out here. There's people in this area have no concept of what community radio is, and we're struggling in a relatively conservative town to figure out how to raise the money without PTFP to get the station on the air. I do have one really short story to tell you just to show you the beauty of our network, how
mm-hmm.
this is how we work. Last Saturday we did a presentation in a coffee shop here in Ames, Iowa to introduce the program again to the community. One of the mm-hmm. community members is an engineer by training. He was inspired by our presentation. He went home. He belongs to all sorts of engineers' listservs.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, he wrote to me, and he said he had found two transmitters in California that are free for the taking.
Uh-huh.
So that was beautiful. But the story goes farther. Of course, because we're a network, I was able to contact people in California immediately, and by the end of the day, we had our affiliate in Davis, California, had arranged to have both of the transmitters taken out of the facilities where they are in the Bay Area, and he is storing them in Davis until we are able to arrange to have them shipped, have one of them shipped to Iowa, and we will be giving the second transmitter to a station in California that is trying to get on the air as well. So that's the beauty of having a network.
Thank you.
This is Lisa. I have two questions.
We see Zach.
Okay, on the stack, yes. Teresa,
this is,
and then a few.
Campbell, was I on the stack at all?
No, I don't have you on the stack. And then Campbell?
Please put me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Teresa, Afia, then Campbell. Yes, go ahead, Teresa.
My first question
is,
hi, this is Teresa in Houston. First question, Ursula, are you going to the Grassroots Radio Conference? And can you tell people a little bit about it?
Grassroots Radio Conference is the other, there's basically two primary professional conferences for community radio. There's other ones too, but these are the kind of the two primary ones. And they're the two opportunities, the best opportunities for me to meet face-to-face with affiliates. The Grassroots Radio Conference is the more grassroots, volunteer-oriented conference. This year, it's fortunate it's happening in Kansas City, which is really just a four-hour drive from where I am right now. So I am going to be bringing a lot of people from Iowa down there so they actually get a taste of what community radio is.
Great. Afia. Yeah.
We can't
Afia,
hear
are you there?
Afia.
I think the Grassroots Radio Conference is happening in August this year, and it's being hosted by KKFI, our affiliate in Kansas City.
Afia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
My first question is, in previous meetings, Ursula, you have indicated or said that there is a effort to, or an agreement that you had reached with NFCB to organize cooperative buying, which would allow for stations to be able to buy equipment and access resources less expensively. Where is that, and is that being made available to the stations that are suffering as a result of the loss of PDFP?
Well, the actual equipment buying. I see what you mean. That has not been developed further, partly due to lack of staff on my end and partly due to the fact that NFCB has been having a pretty rapid turnover of various positions, and so we kind of haven't gotten back to planning that. I think it's a great idea, and I would like to pursue it. It is a logistical issue that kind of needs the administrative structure around it, and I think we're all trying to figure out how to make this work right now.
All right, thank you. We have Campbell and then John, and then I'd like to go
Excuse me. I have other questions.
Yes, I'm sorry.
With regard to the survey, it wasn't clear to me whether or not describing the process that you are proposing to engage, or you were describing actual questions, and I didn't hear any mechanism for affiliate input in the formulation of the survey. So,
I think that's an excellent suggestion, and I think that I'd like to take you up on that. I think that's a good idea.
I don't understand. I'm asking you a question. I'm not putting forward a proposal.
Well, Yeah, I mean, we actually didn't get that far. What happened is that we got to the point where there, within the group of people that met, there was a process of discussion that we went through where we came to a sense of agreement about what this group, what their goals are. And then we didn't really define what the next step of the process was. We were just kind of trying to get clear ourselves. I think what you're suggesting is a great idea.
Who was in the group?
Members of the task force who showed up, who were interested in discussing it.
You indicated that there was a list, or is a list of affiliates doing Al Jazeera English, and I understood you say that you had distributed it, but I have not received a copy of it. How might I get a copy?
Do you get the task force listserv postings?
The Google or Yahoo group list?
Yeah, it's a Yahoo group.
Yes, it was in there?
Yes,
Okay, then I overlooked it.
It's in the affiliate coordinator's report.
Now, my understanding with Audio is that it was supposed to also have been modified or upgraded to provide use data. And so my question is, if the availability of that information and the procedure for accessing it.
You're talking about AudioPort, right? I'm sorry, I'm only hearing
yes.
what you're saying. Anybody who posts a show in AudioPort will see at the bottom of the page of that show is that the AudioPort now automatically records and makes available the information about who downloaded the show. So the information is automatically there. Now, the only person who can see that information is the person who posted the show. It's not publicly available, but if you log into the AudioPort under the same account that posted the show, you will see the list of who has downloaded the show.
Okay. My question goes to whether or not there exists, record keeping that allows us to be able to see the aggregate of that information for developmental purposes.
I don't think that kind of record. I don't know enough about web development to know whether. I don't think there's any sort of aggregating mechanism. That's a whole new project, which I think we'd all love to see. I don't know how much time. Ability we have for that. Just getting the upgrade done was a huge effort, but I think it's a great idea. I don't think that kind of software exists right now, although I'd have to ask Otis, but I don't believe so.
Thank you. I have no other questions.
Thank you, Afia. Campbell and then John, and then I'd like to move forward if possible. So, Campbell?
Okay. Thank you so much, Ursula, and you're doing some great work. I was wondering, the transmitters that you had mentioned were available, were those digital or analog? Do you know?
They're analog. They're old school.
Right. If you get the word on any digitals, please let me know.
Okay.
Because WPFW is in desperate need of that.
Okay.
The PTFP program, we had submitted an application to them for, trying to get a digital thing. And it occurs to me that since it's been shut down, I was wondering if there were any warehouses around or something, some place where maybe some folks might have some digital transmitters that could possibly be engaged one way or another, or if you were aware of any, place where we could seek out that kind of information, because, in addition to relocating in the coming year, we would really be, you know, and we are really in great need of a transmitter.
Well, I'm happy to spread the word.
Okay, terrific. Thank you so much. In regards to asking FCC to make an exception to give longer time to get on the air, is there anything that you know, we at our individual stations or that PMB can do to help support that you know, request? I mean, should there be correspondences coming from our station people, our LSBs, our whomever that would be in support of this?
Well, the FCC doesn't like to be lobbied in that way. They don't respond well to it.
Mm-hmm.
They respond well to kind of friendly, discreet conversations. But I think it might be useful to have the organization pass a resolution in support of it.
Okay.
To be submitted, to be given to the people in D.C. who are talking to the FCC, just to show that there's institutional support for the idea. I do think there's probably more that can be, I mean, I think other than that, that if there are individuals who want to help with the information gathering, it's just it's a matter of time, if there's anybody who'd like to do that. But I think institutionally, if the Pacifica National Board, you know, made a statement, I think that's something that could be taken to Washington.
Okay. Would you be able to, you know, help us with some draft language or something?
Yes.
On that?
Yes, thank you.
And I'd be glad to, you know, present that on behalf of the, you know, task force to the board at some point.
Okay.
Let's see. The next thing that I was going to inquire about was really insofar as the audio port and the count. I remember we had a discussion about that at this last meeting that would, you know, presumably wasn't a meeting. Were you able to find out from either John or Otis, you know, what would be involved in being able to get a count for? I think what we were looking at was the notion of, you know, what programs are being most are getting the most attention out of AudioPort, and being able to kind of have an idea on that. Did you get any?
That's kind of the similar question Afia was asking, and I admit I don't, but I will.
Okay,
I will.
Terrific.
I apologize. It just it kind of went past me, but
okay.
I will do that, absolutely.
Well, okay, terrific.
Right.
And last thing, I guess, is in terms of this Radio South, the Florida station.
Mm-hmm.
You said that was in Fort DeJoe, Florida,
Fort,
or something?
Fort St. Joe.
Fort St. Joe, Florida. Is there, and you're mentioning also Iowa, and I was wondering in terms of our involvement in surveying affiliates, do you think that since you're doing so much work there in Iowa that would be a good place for us to initiate, or, you know, what kinds of things we should have in the instrument? I think that the points that Afia was making in regard to having affiliates to, you know, provide some input on this, you know, it's very good, and it would be important if we can, you know, get their kind of input, plus which one of the things that, as you recall, when we were first talking about the surveys and all, was trying to get some additional support for our affiliates and to find out from prospective donors or funders what kind of information they would want to have so that, you know, we aren't going back 2-3 times to ask the kinds of questions that we need to find out in the first place. Do you have a sense of that, or maybe some of the prospective funders that we could touch base with at some point and get our, you know, instrument together?
Well, I think that's a pretty big discussion that I'm not sure we should have right now. In terms of
not right now. I'm just thinking, you know, I just wanted to kind of open the door on it. And just like last time when we had, secondary meeting, I don't know that everybody would be interested in this particular subject matter. But I think that, you know, as we can, move the ball down the court, because, you know, with the challenges that we're facing increasingly in regard to funding and federal support, et cetera, I think we really need to be, light a fire under ourselves so that we can be sure to be as proactive as possible.
I agree.
Okay. Well, I'll wait to hear from you in terms of, anything that you have on that, or if you can suggest a time when we can, some of us, maybe before we leave the conference call this evening, those who are interested in this arena can, indicate that, and then we can get together in the future and, sometimes in the near future and begin to, thrash out some of these things.
Thank you, Campbell.
Thanks again.
Don, you have a question or comment? Don?
I'm still learning about the affiliates, and just a general question first of all. Is there any one program that is picked up across all affiliates? And if not, is there one program that is more picked up, or type of program that that most of the programs, most of the affiliates tend to play?
Well, the thing that all the affiliates have in common, almost all of them, there's a few that don't, but most of them, is really AudioPort, which is the website that allows everybody to take and give and exchange programs. So AudioPort has really become the shared thing that everybody, the shared product that everybody uses in the network, except a few public radio stations that only want Democracy Now. So I would say AudioPort is the constant, which is not really a show. It's infrastructure that everybody wants.
Right, but there are multiple programs on audio.
In terms of programs, there is no one program that everybody uses, but the two programs that are really the pillars of the network are Free Speech Radio News and Democracy Now! And out of those, Democracy Now! Still is the most used program.
Okay, all right.
Those two programs are taken much, much more than anybody else. Interestingly, Sprouts is the third most taken program, which is kind of a surprise. But in a way, it's not, because it's a Pacifica branded show.
Great.
Is Thea back?
Yes, Thea. Just one more question, please, so we can move forward. Go ahead.
Ursula, in your report, you mentioned that you all were proposing to have each affiliate station to have an AudioPort contact person.
Yes.
Did I understand you correctly to say that?
Yes.
What would be the responsibility of that person?
That person would create the accounts at the station, and we would also ask that occasionally that person review which accounts are coming out of that station to make sure those accounts are appropriate, because, you know, at a lot of these stations, people come and go, and when somebody leaves an affiliate station, they should really no longer have an account there.
So how would that be different from, say, the general manager or the program director?
Usually it is one or the other that plays that role. I mean, each station kind of tells us who would be the AudioPort manager. It's usually the program director, but a lot of affiliates only have the program director and the station manager is the same, or it's just whoever the station thinks should have that role.
I'm concerned about that as an affiliate of a small station. It sounds awfully burdensome.
Well, actually, in reality, that's always been the case. It was just in the past. I mean, we've always asked that there be a local manager, because there is no other way really to monitor the audio port effectively. And it's just that now the difference is that the audio port manager makes the accounts, where in the past the producers made the accounts themselves. But there was a feeling, and rightfully so, that was legally a little bit too open-ended for what we were dealing with.
I don't understand how it would work differently.
It means that the local accountability structure works with us to make sure that people that have accounts in AudioPort really should have accounts, and that the accounts are being used properly. I don't think it hasn't been a big problem, because there hasn't been any real abuse of AudioPort, but it is a legal safeguard, which the thing about AudioPort is we're dealing with a whole lot of property that belongs to a lot of different people. And essentially, Pacifica, you know, is needs to protect the producers, that their content isn't sold or used inappropriately.
Have you all sent out a notice on this already?
I think that, yeah, there have been several notices that went out in explaining the new audio port, but generally people, you know, forget things like that. So I'm kind of going station to station to, you know, writing them individually and making sure they really understand it. Usually these types of things you have to do one-on-one. We have several times sent out the notice, but I don't think, you know, it goes right by people. So it's not the kind of thing that usually comes up unless somebody wants to make a new account. And so in a way, you know, what happens a lot of times is it happens at a station, the station contacts me, and then I'm able to say at that point, okay, let's set it up with you, since, you know, you have the need to do it right now. So.
All right.
Kim, I have a question.
Who's this? I'm sorry?
This is Kim. I have a quick question.
Okay. Please ask my question, then we're going to move forward. Okay, go ahead.
What kind of contracts do you have with the producers of the shows?
The contract that goes with the audio port is really a contract which anticipated the Creative Commons contract. It's essentially a Creative Commons contract that we created back in 2003, which essentially says that if you put content in the audio port, other producers can use it for free as long as all they do is broadcast it and do nothing else with it on the air, and vice versa, that if you have an account in AudioPort, you have permission to broadcast any of the content in the AudioPort. It's essentially a Creative Commons contract, which we made up before Creative Commons existed.
Do you get contracts with all the Pacifica shows, their producers?
With anybody who creates an account in AudioPort. When they create their account, they are asked to read and sign a contract.
So there are two parts of this. There are the people who upload content, and then there are people who download content.
Well, yeah, except usually they're the same. Usually, if you're an affiliate, you can do both.
No, I'm talking about, like, say, the programs from K.
Yeah.
Upload them.
They can do any station that belongs in the network. Their producers can both download and upload.
But what I'm saying is, on both ends, there are contracts, the people that upload and the people that download.
Right. What I'm saying is that when you create an account, it entitles you to both. And as you create that account, you are given a contract, which gives you both, which tells
but
you both.
But the affiliates pay for it, and our producers who are uploading content don't pay to do that. It's the affiliates who have to pay. right?
Well, I mean, AudioPort comes with being part of the network. I don't think you could strictly say they pay to use AudioPort. Affiliates pay affiliation fees. Sister stations pay much more than that to the network. So there really isn't, in the world of AudioPort, there's no real difference between affiliates and sister stations. Everybody is contributing financially what they can to the network, and the AudioPort comes with the network.
All right.
Is that's not clear?
We've taken enough time with this. I'll figure it out.
Okay, I'll be happy to talk to you privately about it, Kim,
yeah.
If you want. Okay.
Okay, so I just want to ask the pleasure of the group. I know we've been on this call for 2 hours. I was thinking maybe just another 15 minutes to talk. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is everyone?
No,
okay. I know that. Is there, okay, so we have a PMB report, and I don't know. I think we've pretty much already done a PMB report in that, you know, we were talking about, as far as the task force is concerned, about this motion, the motion for the structure of the task force passing the board. But are there board members who would like to say anything else briefly from the board of directors?
Excuse me, I didn't hear you.
No, I'm just, Sophia, I was asking, we have something on the agenda for a PNB report, and we put down 5 minutes for this, but I don't know if any board members have anything that they would like to report.
Campbell.
Yes, Campbell. Go ahead.
And I won't take up much time at all, but I'm just, what we had developed in so far as a work plan and how that would relate to getting started on the survey instrument with our affiliates and being able to, there's a second element of that looking that we were going to be having folks look at potential development resources. I think that, I would like to see us, and this would be between now and the next meeting when folks have an opportunity to review the literature that we've developed so that we can be able to move forward and really do some kinds of things that are going to be of benefit, of tangible benefit to our member stations as well as to the affiliates, and that we can begin to strengthen a bond in each of the listening areas. I think that's one of the things we were looking at as an objective of this exercise. We want to certainly strengthen the component pieces, but also we can strengthen the bond.
Campbell, you've talked about the work plan quite a bit. I mean, who has the copy of this? Could that be sent out to everyone? You could send that out to everyone, right?
Heather, I can put it into the archives of the task force listserv.
You have it there also? Okay, great.
Yeah, I can.
That would be terrific. And,
okay. Is there a way of emailing this also to the task force members?
Sure.
Yeah, but I mean, what happens if it emails a link?
Oh, I see. The emails are linked.
It emails a link to everybody.
Okay.
So you'll email the link to everyone, which is a great
mm-hmm.
idea.
Great.
Okay, good. That would be great. All right. Thank you for that, Campbell.
Ursula?
Okay.
Tracy, you're doing this. What is this document officially called that Ursula is going to send out with a link?
Work plan.
The work plan? Is that right?
Yeah.
The work plan?
Yeah, that's the
for the survey?
And part of it,
panel?
Like one step.
No, it's not for the survey.
No,
okay.
The survey was one piece of that.
Okay, I see.
What is the official document name that we're going to send out so I can put that in the minutes?
It's Campbell's proposed work plan or the is that
the
you,
task force's work plan?
Okay,
they just me. Something that we adopted.
Work plan of what?
For the affiliates task force,
okay.
These are things that we're looking at doing over the next period of time. I don't think we specified a specific period of time, but certainly the kinds of things that would help strengthen the foundation, the network, the you know, affiliates individually and in terms of the synergy that we can have between amongst ourselves.
So Ursula, you, so in the minutes you want me to say you're going to send out an email with a link to the task force work plan?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks you all. If it's okay with everyone, I'd like to move forward to old business. And Ursula, we're making you work a lot tonight with sharing all your great work, but we were talking about the survey, and I know that one of the things that you have asked, or the task force has asked, is that other task force members get involved in this, right? So I was wondering if you would address that a little bit about what's happening and what kind of assistance you need on the survey from task force members.
Well, I think I kind of already talked about it. I mean, we've come as far as identifying what some of the goals of the task force are. It seems like what the next step would be to bring this to affiliates and see, ask them for input. I think ultimately the work needed here is we'll probably use a SurveyMonkey to send out the initial survey, but usually with things like this, you have to do follow-up calls to get most people to respond to it. And part of the idea was that there had been an interest expressed in more direct communication with affiliates, and so this would be an opportunity for the task force members to call up affiliate managers and actually help implement the survey. Beyond that, the survey has to be compiled, but let's take it one step at a time.
So this is a matter of us talking to all the affiliate task force members and seeing if this is something that they might like to do. Right?
Yeah, and probably okay. What we should do is call another, what do you call it? It's like a committee, or not a committee, but a work group.
A survey subcommittee?
Yeah, like we did last month, and take it to the next step.
All right, that's great.
Keep it going.
Who will call that meeting?
I'll do that, because I kind of started that process.
All right.
Unless somebody wants to do it for me, but it doesn't really matter.
Will it be during the day? Last time we had two meetings. We had one in the morning and one in the evening.
Yeah, we can do that again if that's helpful.
Should we ask for a kind of an indication as to who might be interested in that?
I'd be interested. Campbell.
So there are folks on the task force who might be interested in participating in this call and just seeing what's happening with it, looking at the questions. Are there other folks who would be interested?
I would. Teresa.
That's
Teresa.
We had a pretty good response last month, so I feel confident that people will come through.
We'll just send out the notice, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about it.
All right. Yeah. Great.
Get the usual suspects.
This is Cynthia, KPFA. I'd like to be on that subcommittee.
Okay, great.
Who's that? I'm sorry. Is that Cynthia?
Cynthia of KPFA.
Cynthia, yes, great. Cynthia, thanks. The next item we have.
Excuse me, just a moment.
Yes.
I would urge that a general notice be sent to affiliates, inviting affiliates to participate in that process.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
You said sure, Ursa, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, right, good, okay. Thanks, Sophia. Ursula, I put down here the portal project. Is there anything you'd like to say about that at all right now? Or
I think
like
we're kind of running out of time. So
I think we're running out, too.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But we can address that at a later meeting.
Yeah.
There was a proposal I sent out. I don't know if you all had a chance to look at it, and I really don't know how much of a discussion we can have on this. But
Kim to the stack.
Yes, Kim, go ahead.
Heather, this is not the purview of affiliates. You should really take this to the programming committee. This is exactly what they do.
Thank you for that. I know that I sent this to Carolyn and the secretary of the board and also to Summer, and they referred it to another committee. But then they asked me as I presented this to the task force, so I thought that I just would. But, me just getting my feet wet on the Pacifica board, and I don't know about the program committee, but it certainly makes sense. It is, certainly is a program issue.
Right.
So and that's fine with me as well. So, but I did just want to share it. I know that some folks here at WRFG are also interested in pursuing some ideas along this line. And just so you all know, I'm also on the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee listserv, and you know, there's just a huge list, and all these folks have been involved in movement work. So I sent out a note to them also asking if this were people who would be interested in being interviewed, just to get some response from them, and I've been getting really interesting responses from people, so that I want to share with folks. So it's fine with me if it go to the program committee. Does that make sense to everyone else as well?
I haven't had a chance to see it, so...
Okay. But if you get a chance, please take a look at it. It might be something that you want for your own station.
Okay. Terrific. Thank you.
All right. So are there any other...
Excuse me. This is Teresa, and I'm interested in this because I'm doing action items here as we go. So we're talking about the portal project, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
no, we're not talking about the portal project now. No, we're not.
Next.
This is new business.
What is it we're specifically sending to another committee?
This proposal that I wrote, Teresa, about some programs around the upcoming election.
Okay. And you're sending that to the programming committee?
Program committee on the board of directors, yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. So that being said, are there any other comments? I think we could probably adjourn, unless there are some other comments that... But before we adjourn, I want to thank you all so much for joining us in the meeting tonight. And I look forward to all this work we're going to be doing in the next year and ideas from everyone on how we do this. So any other comments?
I do have another. This is Teresa. I have a question. I thought your elections proposal was in the hands of the strategic planning group right now.
Yeah, I mentioned that. What is that? The frat group? What is that? The
Campbell, are you on that? Are you on that committee?
I'm on it. Yeah, but I'm not familiar with it. Frankly, there've been nothing of that sort, unless it slipped up into the group file and I just missed it.
Heather, I guess my question having to do with your proposal also has to do with a question that I was thinking about bringing up to Ursula, but I hadn't because of time constraints. But it's going to keep coming up. I don't know who specifically is working on national programming right now because we don't have a national program director. And I know that Ursula has done some of that, and I know that probably they bring these things up in the weekly meetings where Ursula and Brian DeShazer of the archives and the general managers meet. And, you know, if we had, like, some sort of vetting process for Supreme Court justices and we were thinking of having a national program, I would think that would be the place where it would be thrown out and somebody would say, well, we think we have somebody – like that could do that show and could produce it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Arlene and the GMs and Ursula and Brian would talk about, you know, national coverage and offering it to the affiliates, for example. And same way with State of the Union. I'm not sure that sending your proposal on elections coverage is... I'm not sure the proper place to send it right now is a programming committee. I'm thinking maybe it needs to be brought up this strategic planning or needs to be presented to Arlene because there should be a staff person that is kind of coordinating this kind of national programs right now.
Hmm.
And I would hate to think that we would send it to a committee that's not really doing much work.
Well, that is what the programming committee is supposed to be doing, looking at those
kinds of things. that was the impetus for advancing the Al Jazeera contract. I completely agree with Kim and would urge that it be sent to the programming committee. There's no reason why it can't be sent to all these other different places as well, but it's the function of the programming committee to address such issues.
Mm-hmm. Has Arlene assigned any specific staff member to meet with that committee?
Arlene frequently meets with the committee.
Right, exactly. She should
be. How many times has the programming committee met?
I don't know. Why don't you ask Carolyn about that kind of stuff?
This is Ursula. Can I get on the stack?
Yes. Go ahead.
I think there's one aspect to, Heather, what you're raising that is kind of outside the usual process that programs get decided in Pacifica Network. There is no real established channel for active affiliate participation in national programming. It always happens, but it's a little bit. You're proposing, in a sense, a more organized and established way for affiliates to participate in contributing. And I think that's a little bit new, you know. And in that sense, you're carving out new territory. And because that's kind of new, you might have to define where that comes from, but it doesn't necessarily. I think it kind of belongs in all three areas because it's kind of a new idea. It's an affiliate initiative. It's also, program, and you also probably want to talk to Arlene. But I kind of want to acknowledge that you're in a way offering to bring something new to the table that the traditional channels just don't have a place for yet. So
I understand.
Kim,
I just want to.
The fact is, the board members don't make programming suggestions. You know, that's outside of the purview of the board to begin with.
Okay. All right, that's an interesting point.
All right. This is Teresa. I would like to say something. I agree with Ursula that this is something new. And because we had a program director on the national level and we don't now, I've actually sent an email to Arlene recently and said, you know, how often, what is the process for handling national programming right now? Who decides? Who coordinates? You know, how do we make sure that nothing falls through the cracks? So I'm thinking you had suggested it be sent to the programming committee. I'm not even sure that the programming committee has met. I think that passing it on to program committee is great. I think that I will attempt to attend the next strategic meeting and follow up with it there and ask Arlene if she thinks it has any merit. And I think that we should also put it on the agenda for our next affiliate task force meeting just to make sure that it doesn't get lost.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Teresa. So, and you all, we've gone past our 15 minutes, but please make your comment, and then I think we'll adjourn.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I think that the group that calls itself the FRAT is more focused on bottom line impact things of a structural nature rather than dealing with programmatic issues. That's why I wasn't particularly, you know, aware of this at all, unless something is up in the groups that I haven't seen. But I would love to see it. And I think that, you know, the approach of, you know, sending it around and seeing where it draws traction is, you know, perhaps considering the way that Pacifica operates, perhaps a most satisfactory approach. Because if it doesn't draw traction in one place or another, somebody is going to maybe at some point feel overlooked and, you know, as though, well, it should have been here too, you know, so we can avoid those kinds of problems by just saying, you know, it's in everybody's plate, and if you want to have some, it's there. If not, then just pass it on.
All right.
Kim,
all right, pardon me?
This is Kim. I have one more comment. Campbell, I think you're misunderstanding what Heather said. She sent it around to us all. So it's not that you didn't see it on the frat thing. You didn't see it in your inbox.
Right. And I, you know, the volume of my inbox has grown.
Well, whatever, but it's not a frat issue. Frat is really designed to fix the problems that the auditor found in the last audit. You know, they're not dealing with individual programming. Run into tricky areas suggesting program, because that's on some level what everybody thinks they want to do. And, you know, it's not the purview of the board or the LSB.
Well, I don't necessarily buy that, but...
read the bylaws, you know.
I've read the bylaws, and that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. In fact, I would suggest you might read them a bit more closely. But, at any rate, it should get done, and we should, I think that the idea is a great one. It should move forward, and, I'd like to see it draw traction wherever it can.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Campbell. I want to thank you all so much. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved. All right, you all.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you,
everyone.
Bye.
Teresa,
bye bye.
Good night.
Bye bye.
Good night. Meeting. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
This is Teresa. Heather.